Well, glad to be here this Sunday night, and I'm very thankful for everybody showing up, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to preach. I count it a great honor, so I just want to thank Pastor Shelley for allowing me to preach for you here tonight. And the title of the sermon I have prepared for you is called Being Faithful to Church. Being Faithful to Church. I realize I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, but this is something every Christian needs to hear. Doesn't matter what church service you're at, we all need to be reminded how we all need to be faithful to church. So I want to kind of explain what church is and why we need to be faithful to church. So those are some things we're going to go over tonight. I want to read for you a verse that's in 1 Corinthians 1. I want to answer this question, what is church? What is church? What's the definition of church itself? It's the assembly of believers. This is some Christians, everybody should know this, but it doesn't hurt to go over it, make sure everybody knows this, especially the children, that they grow up knowing what is church? Why do we even go to church in the first place? But 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 2, it says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So Paul gives a description here. He's writing an epistle to the church of the Corinthians. And he's writing to this church, and this is how he addresses this church of God. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So he's talking to this specific church. That's who he's writing this letter to. And this is what he says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So a true biblical church are those who are saved. What does it mean to be sanctified? Sanctified means you're without sin. You're pure, that you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're born again. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've gotten saved. All your sins are gone. Now, obviously, every believer still has the flesh, so you're still going to sin in your flesh. But anybody who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, they've been washed. They've been cleansed. They are sanctified. They have no sin in their spirit, although they will still sin in the flesh, okay? So that's what a biblical church is. It's an assembly. It's a group of people, to the people that he's talking about in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, those who are saved, okay? Called to be saints. So again, it's kind of similar to sanctified saints, those who are saved. With all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you're saved, you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You asked him to save you. That's whenever you believed the gospel, you got saved. You called upon the Lord Jesus. Lord, please save me. I believe you died on the cross for me. You rose from the dead. I put all my faith in you. You believed the gospel. You called upon the name of the Lord. The Bible describes that as a saved person. Okay, so that's what a church is. People who are saved. They have trusted in Jesus Christ. That's what church is for in the first place. It's for believers. Okay, church is for the saved. Church isn't to go to get people saved. See, that's why we go out soul winning. We go out into the world. We go get them saved, and then we bring them to church so we can teach them the Bible. Okay? 99% of people in here, as far as I know, already saved. I don't need to come preach the gospel to you every single service. You're already saved. You're already going to heaven. Church is for edification of the saints. It's for the perfecting of the body. So we can all be in one accord in unity unto Christ so we can serve him together because we're all one body in Christ. So that's what a church is. And it's an assembly of believers. And even the dictionary has this, right? It says a church is an organized group of believers. Now, believers in the world's term or even amongst Christians is very loose, right? You go to, if you just Google like believers or Christians, you're going to find billions of people because the world just has a loose definition of Christians or believers. They'd say any type of Christian, doesn't matter if you're Catholic or if you go to the extreme, like you're a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, they might all be labeled as believers in the world's eyes. But from the Bible's perspective, a believer is somebody who believes on Jesus Christ alone for salvation. A true believer on Jesus Christ believes that salvation is by faith alone. See, people who think you got to repent of your sins and do all these good works and keep God's commandments, if they think that's what brings them salvation, according to the Bible, they're not even a believer. They're not sanctified in Christ Jesus. They haven't been washed from their sins because they're trusting the law to save them. They're trusting in the commandment to save them. So it's important for us to understand as Christians that church is for the saved. It's for believers, people who have already been saved. They're going to heaven no matter what because, hey, once you're saved, you're always saved. John 3:16, if you want to look it up. So being faithful to church. So that's what a church is. It's an assembly of believers. Now, what is faithful? Well, I'm going to give you some synonyms of what it means to be faithful, right? Because that's the idea of the message, that we want to be faithful to our church because church is very important, and we should hold that in high regard in our lives because it's all over the Bible. I mean, what is the Bible about? It's about Jesus Christ, salvation, the commandments, church, right? So it's all hand in hand. Synonyms of faithful, loyal. If you're faithful to somebody, you're loyal to them. That means, hey, I'm going to stick it with this person through thick and thin. Nothing's going to part us between one another. I mean, steadfast. Steadfast Baptist Church. Always abounding the work of the Lord. Abounding, unmovable. Steadfast means like, I ain't stopping. You ain't going to stop me. You know, the gates of hell is not going to prevail against me. I'm steadfast. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what it means to be faithful. You're steadfast. You're loyal. That means God can depend on you. And you could abide being faithful to many things. We're just talking about one, being faithful to church. So if you're going to be faithful to Steadfast Baptist Church, that means you're loyal. That means this is the church you come to. That means when we assemble together during our times, like, hey, we see your face. You're at Steadfast Sunday morning at 10:30. I see you here. You're loyal to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you're just going around to 20 different churches, you're not necessarily loyal to one, but that's not the only way you can be faithful to God. Because, I mean, obviously, you can go to any saved church and still be faithful in the sight of God as far as, you know, keeping His command to go to church. So there's different ways you can look at being faithful specifically to Steadfast Baptist Church, or just faithfully going to church in general. Because you don't have to go to this specific church to serve God. You can serve God in another saved church. Problem is, they're just very few and hard to find. They're very few and far between. Let me set up my timer, because last time I didn't, and y'all were here for a while. My wife said I could only preach for 2 hours tonight, so just kidding. I'll try not to keep you that long. But that's what it means to be faithful, is that you're loyal. It doesn't matter what's happening Sunday morning, you're going to church. You're loyal. What's going to get away with that? Well, I got to go to work. I got to work on Sunday. Well, I guess you're not loyal. You're not faithful to church. What are some other synonyms? Constant. Constant. You're just constantly going to church. You're faithful to church. Devoted. Devoted means you're faithful. It's like, nothing's going to get in the way of me serving God. Nothing's going to get in the way for me. Hey, it's Sunday morning. I'm going to get to church somehow. My car broke down. I'm still going to make it here somehow. I'm going to call one of you. One of you going to pick me up, because I got to be devoted. I want to be faithful to church because that's what God commanded me to do. Reliable. That's what it means to be faithful. That you're relied upon. That you're a reliable person. That you're encountered trustworthy. Right? That's what it means to be faithful, is that you're reliable. That God can trust you. That you're going to fulfill His will to make it to church. And there's lots of areas you could be faithful in your life. You could be faithful to your job. And that's a great attribute to have, right? Every manager, anybody in here has a business, you want faithful employees, right? If you don't have any faithful employees, you're going to have a horrible business. It's like, if you're running a company, you need those people to show up and perform the work. Otherwise, the business is going to fail, right? So it's a really good attribute to be faithful to work. We need to be faithful to our jobs. Your company is relying on you to be faithful. And if you're a lazy slacker as a worker, your company could either fail, or you're going to suffer consequences for that because you're not being faithful to your job, right? So there's different areas we could be faithful. How about being faithful to your spouse? That's a really important thing, right? I mean, out of all the relationships you have in this world, spouse is number one. If you're married, that's your number one. Obviously, God is always going to be above that. But I'm talking about here on this earth. Your spouse is number one, and then your children, and then anybody else. Who else are you going to be faithful to if it's not going to be your spouse? That's a really important attribute to have, isn't it? To be faithful to your spouse. I mean, if somebody's not faithful to their spouse, why did they even get married? That's the whole point of marriage. It's, hey, two is going to be one flesh. You're faithful to each other, and what God had joined asunder, you know, what God had joined together, let no man put asunder, right? That's a very important relationship to be faithful to. Is your spouse. So there's lots of different areas you could be faithful. And that's why I wanted to read Daniel chapter 6, because Daniel gives a really good picture of somebody, of a faithful person. If we look at some of the most faithful people in the Bible, man, I was trying to think, I was like, Daniel. And now Daniel chapter 6 isn't necessarily talk about Daniel being faithful to church, but it does give us a good picture of what it means to be faithful. Now, look at Daniel 6. Look at verse number 4. I want to go through the story really quickly. Then the president, Daniel 6, verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion or nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So Daniel has like risen to the top. Like he's like right next to the king. You know, he's like one of the highest rulers in the land. And the other people, the presidents and rulers that are near his you know, status, they hate him. Even though there's no occasion of fault, like he wasn't ripping off the kingdom or anything like that. He was a good and faithful servant, but they hated him for envy, right? And he was also a Christian. So the world, by majority, they hate Christianity. They see a Christian prospering, they want to take that down. So these people, they envied Daniel. They hated him, so they're trying to find occasion of fault against him so they could just destroy his reputation, so they could take his place, right? They want to be exalted, so they're trying to tear Daniel down. But they're trying to find a fault in Daniel, but they can't. They're looking at Daniel and like, all right, we're going to start examining that. Like, they're following him around on his job. Like, all right, what's Daniel going to do next, you know? And he's not doing anything wrong. He's not ripping off the company. He's not lying or, it's, you know, going against the king. Like, this is a faithful person. Verse number 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of God. Daniel's so faithful, like they can't find anything wrong with him his entire life. So the only way we're going to be able to accuse him if it has something to do with his religion. Because they know he's going to be faithful to his religion. They know he's going to be faithful to his God. It's like, okay, if we're going to try to destroy Daniel, it's going to have to be through his religion. Verse number 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So they're following Daniel. They can't find anything to accuse him of, so they all plot together. And this is what the wicked do. They just kind of plot and scheme together to just try to destroy the world and destroy Christians. So they make up this plan. They go to King Darius. And they're like, hey, we all got together. We thought this was a pretty good idea. We're going to make this law. That way, if anybody prays to anybody other than you, O king, live forever. It's a lot of flattery, right? Like, if anybody prays anybody but you, O king, we're going to toss him into a den of lions. It's a pretty extreme law right there, right? But he went along with it. He's like, that sounds pretty good. I want everybody to pray with me. He's a pretty prideful person, wouldn't you say? And how the law of the kings and the Medes work, once you establish that law, you can't go back on it. So like once the law is established, it's not like you can undo the law. They can't make an amendment to it, right? Like the Constitution. So it's a little bit different than what we have here. So they come up with this plan. They say, hey, if anybody prays to anybody other than you, we're going to kill them. We're going to throw them to a den of lions and they're going to die. And the great thing about Daniel, he is so faithful to his God. He knew that law had been passed. Imagine if that law had been passed in America. Joe Biden signs, you know, the next executive order. If you pray to God, if you pray to anybody other than Joe Biden, we're going to throw you into the lion's den. That's never going to happen. Okay, but this just helps you understand the story. You'd be kind of nervous the next day. Like, man, there's cameras everywhere. They're listening to us on our phones. Like, I'd be really hesitant to pray because I might get thrown into a den of lions tomorrow. That's what's going on in this time period. But you know, Daniel is so faithful. He knew. He read that letter. He knew the law was established. He said, well, God told me to pray. I'm commanded to pray. I can't just stop praying. Then I'd be disobeying God. So you know what he goes and does? He goes into his house. His windows are open. Everybody can see him. And he gets on his hands and knees and he prays 3 times a day. And he knew he could be killed for that. How faithful of a person is Daniel? Right. Nothing's getting in the way of his prayer life. That you're going to have to kill me. I ain't going to stop praying. God told me to pray. I don't care what laws you make. You can kill me if you want, but hey, I'm never going to stop following Jesus Christ. I'm never going to stop praying to my God. Throw me into the den of lions. He took that risk. And we read the story. He did get thrown into that den of lions. But you know, God preserved him. Why? Because he is faithful. He trusted in his God. And that's why I wanted to read this story, because I hope we could all have that same faith in our service to God, where it doesn't matter what happens in this life. It doesn't matter what laws they pass in our country. It doesn't matter what persecutions we may suffer as a Christian, but you know what? We're going to serve God. Doesn't matter what threats you are. Okay, you're going to beat me up because I'm serving God? Go ahead. Because I can't stop serving God. That's my duty. That's my mission while I'm here on this earth. If you're going to kill me for praying, you know what I'm going to do? Pray. If you're going to kill me for coming to church, I'm coming to church. I hope we would all be that faithful. When it comes to church, nothing's going to get in the way of that. Why? Because God comes first. You know, it doesn't matter what laws our nation or any nation passes. God said to go to church. And so we need to be faithful to God first, everybody else second. And so it doesn't matter. We need to be faithful to church because that's what God told us to do. So what I love about Daniel is even under the threat of death, he is faithful in his prayer life. And I think we could apply that to any aspect of our Christian life, whether it be prayer, soul winning, reading the Bible, going to church. You're going to have to kill me to get me to stop doing these things. You're going to have to throw me in jail. You're not going to be able to stop me. Because God comes first, I'm not afraid of what man can do unto me. The best thing you could do would be to kill me. Because then I go to heaven. So like, what do I have to fear? It's like, okay, you killed me. Big deal. I'm in heaven now. You thought you won, but you know, I'm still doing good. So, but nothing was going to stop Daniel in his service to God. And so my goal for this sermon is to provoke each individual in here to decide to be as faithful as possible to church. And I'm speaking to people who rarely come, the people who come once a week, or people who come 3 times a week. Everybody needs to hear this sermon. We all need to be reminded of why we need to be faithful to church. Now, like we discussed, the church is the assembly of believer. And a believer is somebody who has trusted in Jesus Christ and has been born again. Their sins are forgiven and they're saved. You know, they're a part of the body of Christ. That is a true church. But most people understand what church is. And a lot of people, like I said earlier, they have a vague definition of believers. So biblically speaking, you know, as far, let's say the Catholic Church, people are referred to as a Catholic Church. They are an assembly, but according to the Bible, they're not believers. Right. Catholics, they don't believe on Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. What do the Catholics think you have to do to go to heaven? Be a good person, turn from all your sins, keep the commandments, you know, do the sacraments, get baptized, go confess your sins to the priest. Now, some things, those are all good things to do. Obviously, some of those things are very wrong, like never go confess your sins to a Catholic priest, okay? But the reason why they're not a true believer, according to the Bible, they're not trusting Christ to save them, they're trusting the commandments to save them. So biblically speaking, the Catholic Church is not even really a church. The Mormons, that's not a church. You can barely even call them a Christian. Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, Methodist, Presbyterian, like Pentecostals, they all believe in a works-based salvation. So biblically speaking, those aren't really even church to begin with. But most people, they understand what church is, but a lot of people struggle with why to go to church. And there's false doctrine today as well as there's been in the past. Some people, they don't even think church is biblical. They don't even think they're commanded to go to church. And they just stay at home and don't even bother with it. But other people, they may know that they need to go to church, but they just have no desire to go. And so I hope I could persuade either kind of people, either to realize that it's a commandment in the Bible, or to just stir up your spirit like, hey, I want to go to church more. I need to go to church. I want to go to church to grow and to learn. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter number 20. We're going to go through a lot of verses here to establish these few points I want to get across. Acts chapter number 20. So point number one in my sermon tonight, why you should be faithful to church. Number one, Jesus Christ bought you with his own blood. That's why we should go to church. Jesus Christ died for us. Look at Acts chapter 20. Look at verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Do you remember what Jesus Christ did for you so you could be saved? Do you remember when he came down to earth and he just suffered his entire life? He's just putting himself last. I mean, think about it. This is God in the flesh. He has eternal glory in heaven. He humbled himself and became a man. He came to this earth. He's just ministering to people day and night, going through a lot of sufferings in this life. And then eventually, towards his, whenever he was crucified, he allowed men to beat him. He allowed them to mock at him. They spit in his face. They ripped his beard out of his face. Imagine all the pain that God went through so you could be saved. They whipped him. They nailed him to the cross. They put a nail through each one of his hands and one through his feet. And he was on the cross for 6 hours before he died. That's a lot of pain and suffering. But you know why he did that for you? Because after he died, he resurrected from the dead, and that paid for all your sins. And the Bible says here in Acts chapter number 20, Paul is talking to the church, and he says, take heed, all the church, God made you overseers over this church. Your job as overseers is to feed the church, which Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood. Amen. See, you're supposed to go to church because Jesus Christ died for you. Right. He paid for all your sins. He gave you a free ticket so you could go to heaven. Just by his grace. You didn't even have to do anything. It was free. The gift of God is eternal life. You received a free gift. That's number one reason why we should go to church. Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. The least we could do is serve him. Obviously, we don't have to go to church to be saved. I hope you already understood that from the points I made earlier. But the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made washed away all your sins. He brought you peace so you could be with the Father. He redeemed you to the Father. The Bible says he was bruised for our transgressions. He died for you. And the Bible says he purchased the church with his own blood. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. So that's why we should be in church today. Because we're Christians. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. And he instituted the church so we can learn and grow and serve him. I think the Bible says serving him is our reasonable service. He died on the cross for our sins. I mean, the least we could do is glorify his name after everything he did for us. I mean, he forgave you every single thing you've ever done wrong. You can't even imagine everything you've done wrong in your entire life. You couldn't even, like, you could try and think about it. You could sit down and try to think everything wrong you've done your entire life. You wouldn't even be possible. But you know, the amount of love that God has for you, he forgave all of those sins. Right. Through nothing good that you did. I mean, that's a lot of grace. And that should drive us to want to serve God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's like reminding him, like, hey, didn't you know you're bought with a price? Didn't you know somebody bought and paid for you? Why? What should you do? It says, because of this, therefore, glorify God in your body. That's why you should be at church today. Jesus Christ purchased you. He bought you. He redeemed you unto himself so you would glorify him. You could give him glory, that you could give him reverence, that you would give him honor. Jesus Christ bought and paid for you to be saved. Therefore, we should serve him. I'm going to read for you Titus. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm going to read for you Titus 2:13. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The Bible says he gave himself for us that he could redeem us from all iniquity. And praise God, he has redeemed us from all iniquity, you know. And he did that so he could purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God doesn't want you to be a lazy Christian. God doesn't want you to be a lame Christian. He wants you to have zeal. He wants people to look at your life and be like, this is a zealous person. This person loves God. There's nothing good. This person's like Daniel. It's like he's willing to die for praying. If somebody threatened you with death for praying, I wonder how many people would stop openly praying. But God's looking for zealous people like Daniel and say, hey, God told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. God told me to go to church, I'm going to do it. That's what God is looking for, zealous people. He doesn't want Luke, lame, watered-down Christianity. He purified us so we could serve him with zeal. And God created the institution of church so we could serve him. That's what church is for. This is part of our service for God. We serve him through the singing at this church. We come together, we sing as a church. I think God loves to hear that. Amen. I mean, how many churches are doing that? Very few and far between. I mean, obviously, I don't think even God wants to hear whatever the ungodly, unsaved churches are singing, that contemporary garbage, whatever they're singing there. We like to see him godly, wholesome Christian hymns here. I think God loves to hear that whenever we come together and sing praises unto him. He's glorified when his word is being preached. And when his word is preached and you receive that, and you apply that to your life and you change your life, and now you're living more for God, God gets glory from that. Amen. And that's why God instituted the church. The Bible says he gave us prophets and teachers and evangelists. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, you're the body of Christ, and that's why we have church, to edify you so you would be a better Christian. So God created the institution of church so we could serve him, glorify him, that we could learn of him, and we could have fellowship one with another. Because it's really hard being a Christian when you don't have other Christians you can fellowship with. It puts a wet blanket on your Christian life. We got nobody else around you. It's like, it's really hard to serve God all by yourself. Now, obviously, you can. But I find it amazing that God did all these things for us, and he created a church, but people don't want to be faithful to him. And it's sad to me, and it's amazing to me, that people are so faithful to other things, but they're not faithful to God. People are very faithful to their jobs, but they're not faithful to church. People are very faithful to their sports team, but they're not very faithful to church. Some people, they're so zealous for their sport team, it doesn't matter what Sunday is, they're going to be at that game. They're going to fly across America to go to their team's game. But yet they won't go to church. They're not going to show. They're not going to have zeal to go to church on a Sunday morning. People are so zealous for their job, they'll work 60, 70, 80 hours or more a week, but then they can't make it to church on Sunday. They're very faithful in the wrong things. See, it's not necessarily bad to watch sports. Not necessarily. It can become sin. It can be a snare and a trap. And some people do have it as an idol in their life. That's not necessarily bad. It's not bad to go to work. But the problem is, a lot of Christians, they're faithful in the wrong things. They're faithful to anything in this life, but not to God. They're faithful to their alcohol. They can never give that up, but they can't make it to church. They're faithful to their drug life, but they can't come to church on Sunday morning. And it's a really sad day that we live in when we see so many saved Christians, because we're not the only saved people here. There's thousands of saved people. I mean, you saw the bulletin. We're getting thousands of people saved every year just in this area. There's thousands of other saved people all throughout America, yet are all they zealously serving God? No, because they're faithful in the wrong things. They're caught up with the cares of this world, the riches of this world, whether it be their job, whether it be their friends. They'd rather go hang out at the lake than be at church on a Sunday morning. They'd go rather be in a softball league on Sunday than come to church. When you start comparing these things, it's very silly. It's like God commanded you to be in church. You can learn, you can grow and get more wisdom, but you're going to go play some softball. What? That's vanity. Look, and if you like playing, go. If you like to go play sports, go play some sports. Go have some fun. Go have some fun with you and your kids. But you know what? When Sunday comes, guess where you need to be? Church. And you come to church over the sports team, over your kids' practice, over whatever it is. Why? Because God comes first. The Bible says we're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. God doesn't want just like a piece of your heart. God wants the whole thing. He wants all of your love, all of your desire to be towards him. And when you start putting other things in front of church and spiritual things, it really shows God where your heart is. But whenever you make church a priority, then God sees that as well. Say, that's my faithful servant right there. I can count on him. I can depend on him. And hey, he's going to be in church whenever he can be, as much as he possibly can be. But of course, there's always going to be naysayers that think that you don't even need to go to church in the first place, right? And we see that a lot today, but I mean, that's always existed. I'm sure there's always been people who rejected the idea of church. That's why I had you turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. You should all be there, Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at verse number 24. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." That looks like a commandment to me right there. It specifically says, look, we're supposed to consider one another to provoke and love and good works. I'm supposed to provoke my fellow Christians. Hey, we can do better. We can do more works for God. And what's the next work it mentions? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That seems like a good work to me. Coming to church Sunday, Wednesday, when we're assembled together, that's a good work. And he says not to forsake that. Know what that means? If you forsake the assembly, you just broke this commandment right there. And he says, look, as a manner of some is, because look, there is a lot of people, they do forsake the assembly. They don't care. There are Christians, Sunday morning, they don't even think about going to church. They don't care. They're going to watch the news, or it'll go to the movies or whatever, anything else besides church. The Bible's not even on their mind. Yeah. They're faithful in the wrong things. But what does the Bible say? We're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Sunday morning comes, you know where we should be? Church. When we forsake that, then we're breaking this commandment. It says we're supposed to exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's the day it's talking about? The day of Christ. One day, Christ is going to come back. We don't know the day or the hour. It's definitely not going to be tonight in the service. Antichrist, some things haven't happened first before he comes back. But that's what it's talking about. The day of Christ is approaching. And as we get closer to that day, we can kind of tell, based upon the world that's going on right now, things are going to get worse. And that's what the Bible says. The last days, perilous times shall come. The Bible says the world's going to be so bad, it's going to be like the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. We can see that in America. It's getting more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah. Yep. And that things are only going to get worse from here. Yep. You think, well, 2020 was bad. 2020, maybe it could be good. It could be a better year, right? 2022 could be a great year. But those blessings are only going to happen if we follow Christ. See, judgment, the world is going to get worse and worse and worse. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen. The only way we can preserve that is if we're a righteous generation, then God will be like in the days of Josiah, where God decided to spare judgment during that time because they were zealously serving God. But we know that when it gets to the last times, the world's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And as we see that day approaching, like, man, it's getting really bad. We need church even more. So much the more as you see the day approaching. As the world gets worse and worse, we need to be serving God even more. We need church even more. See, we don't need less church. We need more church. And that's why we have multiple services throughout the week, because we need more church. We don't want to dwindle down the messages. We don't want to dwindle down the church activities. We don't want to dwindle down our services. No, we need more, because we need to be more righteous as the day is approaching. The Bible says the love of many is going to wax cold, right? The world is going to be a terrible place, and it's only going to keep getting worse, and that's why we need church so much more as we see that day approaching. So point number one to my sermon is why you need to go to church, because Jesus Christ died for you. He paid for all your sins. right? You have a free ticket on your way to heaven, and Jesus Christ paid for your way there. The least you could do is serve him. The Bible says he purchased you with his blood so you could glorify him. So that's point number one, is why you should go to church, because Jesus Christ died for you. I think that's a pretty basic point we should all get. Point number two, why you should go to church, you're commanded to. We just saw right there in Hebrews chapter number 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's a commandment. When you forsake the assembly, you just broke God's commandment. So that's a pretty big reason to go to church. If you don't, it's sinful. And the Bible says, when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. If you as a Christian decide to live a sinful life, your life is going to be destroyed. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, our God is a consuming fire. There are people in the Bible God just killed for lying, for fornication. We should be terrified to ever sin against God. And so that's a strong reason we should be in church, because if we're not, we're breaking God's commandment to go to church. And God might bring destruction on our lives. So that could be a huge consequence for you forsaking church. Now, assembly of ourselves together, what's an assembly? Another word for assembly is church, right? So we are assembled together right now. This is church. And when you're forsaking the assembly, you're breaking Hebrews chapter number 10. Now, what does forsake mean? Forsake means to leave. It means to turn away from. It could also mean to give up. So there could be like different levels of forsaking, right? If you go to the extreme, if you completely forsook church, I'm not going to church at all. I'm never going to church again. That sounds like forsaking, doesn't it? It's like, and you talk to people like that, like, I'm never going to church again. They have forsaken the assembly. And they might even get to the point where they think, well, it's not even biblical. I don't even need to go. Or they just don't care. But they've completely forsaken the church. It's like, I'm never going to church again. But you could also have a smaller level of forsaking where it's like you just missed a service. You forsook that service, right? That you left it, you turned away from, you didn't go to that service. That would be a form of forsaking. And so when we refuse to be gathered together with believers, we're sinning. So it's important that we don't miss that. When you miss church, you're sinning. You staying at church on the couch watching TV when you should be in church on Sunday morning, guess what? You forsook the assembly. And think about it, like, if you miss church on a Sunday morning, what were you going to do in that time anyway? Very few people, it's not like, well, I really need to work 100 hours this week. It's like, no. Well, I got something really important going. No. If you miss church on a Sunday morning, you know what you're probably doing? Sleeping. You're tired from staying up the night before doing God knows what. You're sleeping, or, you know, you just want to relax. You just want to hang out. It's not like you're doing something very crucial and important to your life. It's like, most of the time, it's just out of laziness. That's normally why most people miss church on a Sunday morning, and that's not an excuse to miss church, because you're tired. Look, God didn't say, well, you can forsake the assembly as long as you're really tired. Did he give any kind of caveat? It's like, no, he didn't give any reason. And if somebody thinks it's okay to miss church, you need to get your heart right, because really that's a pride problem. You're like, well, it's okay to miss church. I didn't really miss anything. I don't really need to go. That's pride. A prideful person thinks that you don't need church. Because why would you think you don't need church? Well, because obviously you're not going to get that idea from the Bible. I mean, most of the New Testament is like epistles about the church and talking to the church. I mean, they're going out spreading the gospel, starting churches. I mean, you're not going to get that concept from the Bible. So why do people want to think it's okay to miss church? It's really just pride. Right? Like, I need to go to church. I'm a pretty good person. That's what you mean out soul winning, right? You go to the door, they already think they're a pretty good person. Like, well, I'm a pretty good person. What do I need to go to church for? No, you need to go to church. Yeah. Because all of us, we all have sin in our lives. We need to get cleaned up. Yeah. And even if you are living a pretty clean life, you still need church to be reminded of that so you don't fall into the snares and the traps in this world. And going to church will keep you out of a lot of trouble, right? I mean, if you're at church Wednesday night, I mean, you're not going to get into a lot of trouble here, right? What's the worst thing that's going to happen? What kind of sins are you going to do here on a Wednesday night at church? I don't think you're going to be doing a bunch of drugs in the service. You're not going to be committing adultery. I mean, there's a lot of sins you're going to avoid just by keeping yourself out of the world. It's like you got a couple hours where you're in church. That's going to help you avoid sinning, right? And so that's why it's really important to be in church, because that'll keep you out of a lot of trouble, right? If you have that priority in your life, like, hey, I'm going to make it to church Sunday morning, you might avoid doing a lot of sins you would have done on Saturday because you know, hey, I need to make sure I get to church on Sunday, right? But if you don't even set that as a priority, you don't even care, then yeah, you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff. And if you miss church, you're going to end yourself up. You're going to end up in a lot of trouble. Sins you maybe you wouldn't have done if you would have came to church and you would have heard a good sermon that may really would have helped you. It may have really helped a lot of problems in your life. You know, that's why church is so important, because you hear a lot of good truths that'll really help fix your life. Because the Bible has the answer to everything. And God's trying to speak to you. He's giving you His Word. He's ordained preaching to try to help you and to change you. And if you apply that, that can really help your life. But when you miss out on church, you don't get those good truths. When Pastor Shelley gets up and he teaches you how to have a good biblical marriage, you hear that and apply that, that's really going to help your marriage. Where are you going to hear that in the world? The world's going to teach you, hey, if you're not happy in your marriage, just divorce them, go find somebody else. That's going to destroy your life. But when you come to the Bible, and the Bible says to love your wives, and the pastor is going to get up and tell you how to apply that, and you apply that, that's really going to help your marriage. You might have a really long and happy marriage serving God the rest of your life. But if you miss that church service, you might not have got that truth. And you might run into a lot of problems in your marriage or any other aspect in your life. And that's why we need church so much the more. Turn to Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. So Jesus Christ died. He shed his blood for you. Is it too much to ask you to come here and sit in a chair for a couple hours a week? I mean, out of all the commandments in the Bible, church is probably one of the easiest ones, right? It's like getting baptized. Say, hey, God, you're supposed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Dylan preached a message this morning. Hey, every believer is supposed to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's a really easy commandment to follow. You come to church, they dunk you in the water, and you're out. That's a pretty easy commandment, isn't it? You only got to do it one time, and you're good. It's like going to church. That's a very easy commandment to follow. You wake up at 9:30 Sunday morning. You drive to church. You come sit in a chair. You hear some guy yell at you for a couple hours. You sing a couple songs, and you go home. That's not very difficult. God's not asking a whole lot when it comes to coming to church. There's a lot of other things that are really hard to do in your life. You know what's really hard to do? Stop complaining. Stop getting angry. Obviously, some anger is justified, but probably 90% or more of our anger is not justified. That's really hard to do. Cleaning up your life is really hard to do. You know what's not hard to do? Come to church. Especially in America. I could see some places in the world it might be a little bit more difficult, the church, where they actually want to take your head off, but you're not in that other place. You're in America. The land of the free, right? We got freedom. It's not hard to go to church in America. You know why people don't go to church in America? Laziness. And they're apathetic. They don't care. They don't think that they need church. So it's not too much to ask for God to, it's not too much for God to ask you, hey, could you come just hear my word being preached? Because that's the first step. If you don't come hear it, it's going to be really hard to apply it to your life. First, you got to hear the message, and then hopefully that will lead you to applying it to your life. But even in the Old Testament, they had the concept of church. You're in Acts chapter 15. Look at verse number 21. For Moses of old time hath in every city that them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So he's describing the people of old time, for Moses, a lot of people of the Old Testament. They have in every city them that preach him. Jesus in the Bible. They're reading about it in the synagogues when? Every Sabbath day. So once a week on the Sabbath, you know what they're doing? They're assembled. They're reading the Bible. Even in the Old Testament, they had the same concept of church. They were just doing it on the Sabbath day. Okay? We're here on a Sunday morning. We do church on Sunday mornings. That's when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's one of the reasons why we do church on Sunday morning. But they still had the same concept of church in the Old Testament. Every Sabbath day, they're just reading the law. They're all the time, people in the Old Testament, they're just gathering together as an assembly. Why? To hear the word of God. Even in the very beginning, you have like Enoch preaching to people. We don't really know the whole details behind it, but even in the beginning of the Bible, we have like Enoch in Genesis. He's like, hey, the Lord's coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. Enoch is a hard preacher even back in the Old Testament. So they still had preaching and people hearing the word of God in the Old Testament. This isn't a new thing in the New Testament. Obviously, starting and sitting out churches, that's a New Testament thing, but I'm saying they had the same concept still in the Old Testament. You're in Acts. Go to Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. Because we're talking about how church is biblical. And first, I just want to talk about how they had the same concept of church in the Old Testament. Acts chapter number 7 says in verse number 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So don't tell me church isn't biblical because the New Testament describes Moses in the wilderness, in the desert. That was a church in the wilderness. So they had the same concept even in the Old Testament. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter number 4, even Jesus Christ himself was committed to going to the Sabbath day, to the assembly, even in the Old Testament. Because while Jesus Christ was living, he's still technically in the Old Testament because he hadn't died and rose from the dead. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. You know what Jesus was doing whenever he was a kid? He was going to the synagogue. And eventually when he was old enough, you know what he was doing? Reading. He was getting up before the assembly, reading them the Bible. That's what it says his custom was. You know what a custom is? Something you do all the time. You know where Jesus was every Sabbath day? With the assembly. So don't tell me the church isn't biblical. We're supposed to follow Christ, and Christ was in the synagogues every Sabbath day, and he was even reading in a lot of services. So don't tell me it isn't biblical. Jesus Christ is doing it, even in the Old Testament. So where was Jesus every Sabbath day, church? With the assembly? Jesus was faithfully there, right? That's what it means. As his custom was, Jesus was faithful to church. So shouldn't we be faithful to church? If that's something Jesus Christ did, shouldn't we? Because what's the sermon title? Being faithful to church, right? So if you don't go to church, or you rarely go to church, guess what? You're not faithful to church, right? If you rarely go to church, how could you say, I'm very faithful to church? Oh, how often do you go? You know, Easter and Christmas. You're not faithful to church. Maybe you're faithful to those two services, but you ain't faithful to church. And that's a lot of Christians. Well, yeah, of course I'm a good person. I'm faithful to church. I love God. How many times do you go to church a month? You know, once, you know, unless my dog needs braces, then I got to go take care of my dog. And then what? Look, the majority of Christians of the world, they're not faithful to church. And if you rarely go to church, you don't go to church at all, you're not faithful and you're not following Christ. Right. See, the pride of man's heart makes you want to think that you're right with God. Right. And so most Christians, saved or unsaved, they just think that they're always right with God. But that's not what the Bible teaches, because if you're not keeping God's commandments, you're not faithful to God. And you might say with your mouth you love him, but if you're not doing the works to show for it, you don't actually love him. God doesn't want you to say, I love you, and then you don't follow any of his commandments. What? That doesn't mean you love me. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you're not keeping his commandments, you don't love God. You can say you love God all you want, but if you're not keeping his commandments, you don't love him. So how much should you be in church? Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Because how much should you be in church? Every week. Just like they met in the synagogues every Sabbath day to hear the preaching of God's word. Just like in the New Testament, We have the same example for the New Testament church to be in church every week. Acts chapter number 20. Look at the disciples were doing. Acts chapter 20, look at verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. You think I preach long? You think Pastor Shelley preaches long? Paul's preaching until midnight. Y'all are lucky, okay? I'm not going to keep you till midnight, okay? This is kind of a special event. They're probably having like a soul winning marathon or something. He's preaching till midnight. Imagine the love that these people have for God, where they have the Apostle Paul preaching for them, and they're just staying till midnight. How many of us would have that same love? It's like 8 o'clock, I need to get my kids to bed. Man, it's 10 o'clock, we need to go. They're like, no, I want to hear more of the Bible. I want to hear more. This is the Apostle Paul, he's preaching an awesome message. I need to hear this. They're faithful to that service. Some pretty faithful people here, but when did they meet? The first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. So that's how we have church in the New Testament. Like I said earlier, Jesus Christ was risen Sunday morning. That's why we have church Sunday morning. And when were the disciples gathered together? Upon the first day of the week. And so I believe that's how we should have church in the New Testament at least once a week on a Sunday. And it doesn't necessarily have to be on a Sunday. If you have church once a week on a Wednesday, okay, cool. You're still assembling. You're still doing the same thing. So I don't think necessarily the time is the most important aspect. I think it makes a lot of sense biblically and with everybody's schedules, especially here in America. Most people are off Saturday and Sunday. So they could easily make it to a Sunday service. If not Saturday, they could make it to a Sunday. So it makes a lot of sense. And what's the example we have in the Bible? When the disciples gather together the first day of the week. And so I think if you want to be right with God, you need to be in church at least once a week. That's the Bible says we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So if you want to stay right with God, I think you need to be in church at least once a week. And that's just to avoid sinning. Bare minimum, you should be in church once a week. Okay. Turn to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. In my opinion, I think you should be in church as much as possible. Now, at Steadfast Baptist Church, we have three services. Sunday morning, y'all are here on a Sunday night, praise God. We also had a Wednesday night. And if you're able to come to those other services, you will truly be blessed in your life. Because you're going to hear the Word of God being preached behind this pulpit. Pastor Shelley, when he gets up to preach, he preaches a lot of the Bible. He teaches a lot of stuff that will help you learn and grow. And if you don't come to church, you're not going to get that. And so, yeah, bare minimum Christianity, you should go to church once a week, but I think we should be doing more than that. I'm not saying like if you don't go to church three times a week, you're in sin. I'm just saying that's a good thing to do, that you should strive to be in church as much as possible. And we have other events going on too. We're having soul winning marathons and soul winning times and doing kind of things as a church, as an assembly. I think it's good to make as much of that as you possibly can. But to avoid sinning, I think bare minimum, you should be in church at least once a week. And I think that's being faithful. But if you want to be even more faithful, come to church on a Sunday night. Come back next Sunday night. How about that? Come to church on a Wednesday night. I mean, what are you doing during that time anyway? Right? If it's Wednesday night, personally in my life, Wednesday night, I'm probably getting home. If I take a full day, probably getting home 7 or 8 at night, eat, go to bed. Pretty boring life, okay? I don't do a lot. So it's like, wouldn't it be way more beneficial for me as a Christian to come to church and hear the message of God's Word? I know it's going to be more beneficial to me. Now, I could kind of understand it. If people go to like a lame, watered-down church where they're not getting really fed a lot, and they're like, why would I go to church on a Wednesday? I don't even like the Sunday service. I could kind of see it in that situation, but you don't get that here at Steadfast Baptist Church. Pastor Shelley feeds this church. He feeds it very well. And I know every time I come to a Wednesday night service, it's going to be a good message. Why? Because he's preaching the Bible. He's preaching a lot of the Bible. And so I think you should try and be in church as much as you possibly can. And when you are in church a lot, consistently, you're loyal to it, you're devoted to it, guess what that means? You're faithful. But if you're missing church all the time, you're hit or miss, you don't care, you're not faithful, okay? Now, why should you be faithful to begin with? Luke chapter 16, look at verse number 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If, therefore, ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus said, if you can't even be faithful in the little things, you're not going to be faithful in the big things. If you can't accept, if you can't handle a small responsibility, you're not going to be able to handle a big responsibility. Now, ask yourself this, how much do you want to serve God? And people want to say, I love God with all my heart, all my soul, and I want to do great things for the Lord. I want to serve Him the best I possibly can. But they can't handle to come to church once a week. If you're not faithful in that which is least, God's not going to entrust you with a great responsibility. You're not going to be greatly used by God if you can't get in your car and drive to church once a week on a Sunday. It's like, that's one of the easiest things you could do. And we live in America. A lot of people have cars. You got air conditioning. We're in Texas, so we don't really need the heater that much. But in the north, they could use their heater, right? It's pretty easy for us to get to church. Other countries, it's a lot harder. So it's much more easy for us to get to church. So we have even less of an excuse. But if we can't even be responsible in the little things, God's not going to entrust us great to do big things for Him. And the Bible talks about there being great in the kingdom of heaven and least in the kingdom of heaven. You know how you're going to be least in the kingdom of heaven when you can't even be faithful in the small things? When you're breaking God's commandments and teaching other people to break God's commandments, you're going to be the least in the kingdom of heaven. So if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you know what? You need to be faithful in all things. And start off with the basics. Hey, I'm going to be at church every Sunday morning. Nothing's going to stop me. If something bad happens, if something tries to get in my way, I'm going to go over that obstacle. I'm going to get there somehow, right? I'm going to call my family. I'm going to call one of my brothers in church. I'm going to get there somehow. Why? Because I want God to entrust to me true riches, great riches. I want to be great in the kingdom of God. I want to greatly serve Him, and I need to be faithful in the small things if I'm going to be highly blessed by God. And I mentioned this earlier, but how can you say you love God when you don't keep His commandments? Turn to 1 John number 1. 1 John number 1. I'm going to read for you a few things while you're turning there. But if you love God, you need to keep His commandments. And one of His commandments is to go to church. And so if you say you love God, guess what? You need to show God you actually love Him by coming to church whenever He told you to. So that's point number 2, is that, hey, you're commanded to be in church. Okay. Point number 3, last point I have, why we should be faithful to church is to seek the Lord and to have fellowship. That's another great reason to come to church. It says in, because church is where you go to seek the Lord, because that's where the Bible's going to be preached. I mean, where else are you going to go out in this world and hear a bunch of the Bible and hear a biblical sermon? You're going to go to the movie theater and they're going to play, like John the Baptist sermon? No. You're going to turn on CNN and hear anything true? It's going to be very hard to find anything. Where else are you going to find it? Nowhere. You might see like a Facebook post occasionally with a verse on it, but like that's not the same as church. Where else are you going to hear a message from God? Church. It says in Psalm 14:2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Bible says God's in heaven. He's just looking at the world, and He says, is there any that's seeking Me? Is there anybody? That's what He's looking for. That's what He said to Isaiah. He's like, I can't quote it right now off the top of my head. But He's like, who's going to go for us? Who's going to stand in the gap? And Isaiah said, here am I, send Me. You know, God's just looking for people to seek Him and to serve Him, but there's very few people who actually do that. Hosea 10, verse number 12, says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Look, it's time for us to seek the Lord. We need the Lord in our lives. We need the Lord to work in our lives, and we need to actively seek Him if we want to be found. right? If we want to find him, we need to be seeking him, and God's waiting for us to seek him. It's like, break up your fallow ground. That hard, rocky, stony ground you have, that pride in your heart, I need you to break that up and start seeking the Lord. And it's time to seek the Lord today. If you haven't been seeking the Lord today, before today, today's the time. Mark that in your heart. Hey, today I'm going to start seeking the Lord. I'm going to be devoted to the Lord. And I come to church because I want to seek God and I want to know his ways. I want to know the will of God in my life. And that's why I want to come to church, because I want to hear the word of God being preached so I can follow that. I don't want to live a vain and worthless life. And that's what you're going to do if you're just outside of church, outside from the things of God, not hearing the Bible. You know what you're going to have? A vain and worthless life. Praise God, you're still going to heaven. If you believed on Jesus Christ, you're still saved. But I don't want to just do nothing with my life. I want my life to matter. I want to make a difference to other people. And the only way I'm going to do that is if I'm serving God. And a good way to start is just by showing up to church. Without just showing up to church, you're not going to be able to do much else in your life. It's going to be very, very hard. Titus 1:3, "But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." You know how God manifests his word? Through preaching. What's that? Church. That's how God manifests himself through you at times. When you read the Bible, that's how God speaks to you. Look, God isn't going to audibly speak to you. If he audibly speaks to you, let us know so we can get you out of here, okay? He's not going to audibly speak to you. He's going to speak to you through his word. When you read the word of God and it hits your heart, the Holy Spirit convincing you of sin, that's how God speaks to you. And when you come to church, you hear a message like, is he talking about you, about me? Yeah. You know why? Because it's about all of us. The Bible's about all of us. It applies to everybody. And the Bible says that God manifests his word through preaching. God committed faithful servants, Paul the apostle, the other apostles, to go out and preach his message. And that's how God is going to manifest his word, is through preaching. And that's why we need church, so we can hear that preaching. God speaks to us through the Bible and through preaching. And if you want to hear it from God, come to church. If you want to know what to do with your life, come to church. If you want to get some good wisdom, come to church. Because this is the only place you're going to get it. I'm not talking about only here at Steadfast Baptist Church, okay? You can get wisdom in other godly churches. But what I'm saying is that it's going to be really hard to find any godly wisdom outside of a godly church. Where else are you going to get it? Proverbs 4:7. I'm going to try to burn through these verses just for sake of time. "Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" Wisdom cannot be compared with money, right? We should always choose wisdom. It's so much better. It's going to improve your life so much more. Yeah, you could make a little bit more money and get some overtime, but you know where you'd be better served? Being in church. That wisdom you're going to get in church is going to be so much better for you in the long run. And when you miss out on church, you're missing out a lot of wisdom. And yeah, listening online is great, but it's not a substitute for church. And this is 2021. The internet hasn't been around for that long. It's not like hundreds of years ago they could just listen to services online. This is kind of a new thing, and God isn't accepting that. Well, I watched online, I went to church. No, that's not acceptable with God. That's just like a substitute. Obviously, it's good to hear some good preaching online, but that's not the same. At home, you're not assembled with other believers. Your family, I know they might be saved, but biblically speaking, that doesn't count, okay? You watch the sermon online with your family at home. Yeah, we had church. No, I'm sorry. You heard some good preaching, but that's not the God-instituted, ordained church that he gave, okay? I had you turn to 1 John number 1. I'll skip that just for sake of time. Well, maybe I'll read one verse. Since we're already here. It says in verse number 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." If we're just forsaking church, forsaking the things of God, and we're saying that we have fellowship with God, you know what you are? You're a liar. If you don't go to church, if you're not faithful to church, you know what you don't have? You don't have fellowship with God. You might think it you do, but according to God, you're walking in darkness. And there's no darkness in God God isn't with you when you're walking in darkness. You need to step out of the darkness and get into his light. So I just wanted to give you that verse because it just shows when you're not seeking the Lord, you're not seeking wisdom from his word, and you're forsaking the assembly, don't tell me that you have fellowship with God, because it's not true. The Bible even says you're a liar. God's right, you're wrong. And there's a lot of people that are puffed up and they don't think that they need church or that they already know all the Bible. They don't need to get any more wisdom. Or they just think that they can just have church at home. You know what that tells me? They don't love God. Because they're fine with forsaking the assembly. So let's quickly review. Number one, we should be faithful to church because Jesus Christ died for us. He shed his blood for us. Number two, we're commanded to. It's a commandment to go to church. Number three, church is where we seek the Lord and have fellowship with him and with the brethren. And whenever you're missing out on church, you're missing out on fellowship with God. And you know, if you get plugged into this church, you'll never meet a better group of people in your life. People who will love you, true brethren. People who get plugged into this church, and they're very zealous. We love each other like family. Our family probably treats us worse than our brethren in here. And it's nice coming to a church. We're all of one mind, of one accord. You don't go to church, you don't have that. It's going to be very hard to serve God outside of a good, godly church because who else in your family wants to zealously serve God or cares about the Bible? Very few and far between. Another good reason to come to church is because a zealous church, like the group of members we have here, their zeal will rub off on you. Right? The Bible says your zeal hath provoked very many. A zealous church is going to provoke other Christians to be zealous, and that's why we need church so we can live a very zealous life. And you're not going to be as strong as a Christian all by yourself, usually. So a couple practical tips on how to be faithful to church, okay? Make church a priority in your life. Sunday morning, you know what you're doing? Going to church. But I got to do this? No. Well, I got to get this going on? No. Make that the priority in your life. 10:30, I'm going to be here. 10:30, I'm going to be faithful to Steadfast Baptist Church. That's a priority over your job. Boss, I can't come in Sunday morning. Why? I'm going to church. You can't go to church. You have to come in. I guess I can't come in. If you don't come in, you're going to be fired. Well, at least I'm not being tossed into the den of lions, right? I guess you're going to have to fire me. I guess I need another job that's going to allow me to serve God. Because you can't serve God and mammon. If you're going to pick your job over church, over God, you think God's going to bless your life? You're picking your job over church? It really shows God what your priority is. Do you choose your family over coming to church? I don't care what my family thinks. I don't even care if it's my wife. Now, thank God I have a wife who wants to serve the Lord, who loves this church and wants to be in church. But even if that wasn't the case, you know what I'm going to be Sunday? Church. Because that has to be number one. I have to put God first because our relationship with God is number one. And if you can't make it to church once a week, you might need to quit your job. Why? Because God is more important than your job. And you need to find a job that's going to work with your church schedule, right? And there are tons of jobs that you'll be able to do that with. But you're just in the wrong one if that's your situation. And I would take it a step further is that try to find a job where you can attend every single service. Because that's going to be what's best for you and your family. And me personally, I want my family zealously serving God, not just to be doing the bare minimum. Yeah, we went to church once a week, and then, you know, we went soul winning for 15 minutes this week. And like, no, I want my family to have zeal in their service for God. I want to leave my kids a great inheritance. I want to give them the best possible upbringing they can. And so I want to be in church as much as possible so they'll be able to have that for their lives. And some other practical things. You need to go to bed early enough to make it to church on Sunday. It's not really hard. Get to bed around 10 o'clock. Set your alarm at 8. Drive at 9:30. I mean, it's not that difficult. And if you can't even be faithful in that, you got a lot of problems in your life. If sleep is going to cause you to miss church, you better have some good excuses if you're going to miss church. But people miss church because they're just hungover from the previous night. It's like, get your life together. Quit doing that garbage and come to church on Sunday. And there are, I think, some legitimate excuses why, yeah, you might have to miss a church service. And one thing I could think would help you determine is, would God accept your excuse? Right? If you stood before God and he said, why'd you miss church this week? I was watching the football game. Is God going to accept that excuse? No. But there would be some valid excuses for you missing church. Bad weather. Look, if there's a tornado flying down here, I don't expect you to come to church. God doesn't expect you to come to church. So there would be some legitimate excuses to be missing church. Obviously, if you're sick, don't come to church. Stay home. We don't want your sickness, okay? Stay home, get rested, then come back when you're better. You know, if the church, if you're like 3 hours driving from a church, I don't expect you to be here every service. But I think what would be best for you, you move closer to where you're not 3 hours from a good church, okay? So distance could be a legitimate excuse, possibly. But really, it's like if you're not going to church at all and you got nothing around you, then you might need to drive that hour and a half to make it to church, whatever it's going to take. And we got an hour and a half comfortable car ride. Back in the day, people got just walking. They got the horse and buggy. I mean, we got it pretty easy nowadays. So, but weather could be a legitimate excuse. If you're sick, if you're handicapped. Look, if somebody doesn't have legs, I could give them, okay, that's a pretty good excuse. Most of you in here, I'm pretty sure all you got two legs, okay? So you can make it here. I seem to recall a story in the Bible where this one guy, he was crippled in bed, and he had his four friends drag him to Jesus Christ to be healed, led him through a ceiling to be laid down unto Jesus. I feel like if I was crippled, I'm like, man, I can't get to church. I'm going to call like four of y'all, okay? I need y'all to pick me up and bring me to church. Why? Because I want to be in church. I need to be in church. So we can make it happen if that's a priority in our life, if we really want it. We can find a way to make it work. And if it's hard or difficult, find a way to make it work, okay? If you can't drive, walk, or call one of us, we'll pick you up, all right? If it's physically challenging for you, like I said, you can call four other guys, they'll come pick you up and move you to church. But and if somebody needs help coming to church, I'll be glad to help them get to church. And if you know somebody and they're like, I'm physically not able to, offer to pick them up. Hey, I'll come bring you. Why? Because I want them to be in church. I know that's going to be best for them. If you're sick, stay home and find the best church in your area and be faithful to that church as best you can. Last verse I want to leave you with, Matthew 25. Sorry it's taking so long, but Matthew 25, verse number 21. I want to leave you with this thought. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's why we need to be faithful to church. And so that will help you throughout all aspects of your life. And let that be said at you at the end of your life, when you can stand before Jesus Christ and he says unto you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That will close it in a word of prayer. Dear Father, I just thank you for giving us a church so we would know what to do with our lives, so we could know your will. And I just pray you'd help us all, Lord, to be faithful unto you in all aspects of our lives, but help us all to set it in our hearts that we'd be faithful to come into church at least once a week so we know what to do and that we could serve you and have good fellowship with the brethren. And we thank you for this church. Just help us always have zeal in our service for you, that we could always love you with a perfect heart. In the precious name of Christ we pray, amen.